22. And the Bible says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many believe that? Come on, somebody. The truth will set us free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, Lord. We just pray that you just have your way upon this service. Lord, let us all learn that freedom is a choice. I pray that you just have your way. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him before you're seated, today you are blessed because you're sitting next to me. Amen. You may be seated at this time. You are blessed because you're sitting next to me. I just noticed a crystal ball is just moving around. How many know this is the first church you've probably ever been to that had a crystal ball in the middle? Amen. But how many know we love to celebrate our freedom? We love to celebrate our freedom. And like I said, freedom is a choice that we make. Matter of fact, there's a quote that I came up with because I realized that it is a choice. Freedom is not your condition, but it's your position. I want you to put that up. Freedom is not your condition, but it's your position. It's not that one. Follow along. John, I really need you to follow this time. I have a lot of notes. Freedom is not your condition, but is your position. And what that means is that it's a choice. It's a choice that we all make. See, Nelson Mandela was a former president of South Africa. And I actually had the privilege of visiting the island that he was at when he was in prison. Matter of fact, I went to his cell and I saw where he lived for many, many years. Matter of fact, he lived there for 18 years. Now, if you know the story of Nelson Mandela, he was imprisoned for not even doing what they accused him of doing. Nelson Mandela was a man of peace, and he went there and he went into prison for 18 years. He was sentenced for 27 years, but he ended up doing 18 years in a brutal prison called Robben Island Prison. It was a former leper colony, and it was right off the coast of Cape Town. We went as pastors to go visit that island because it was monumental. It was a place where Nelson Mandela was in prison. Matter of fact, the lepers were put there because they were segregated away from South Africa. And so he was surrounded by leopards, so basically he had to be in this prison for all the time that he was there. So when I went to go visit the prison, it was a cell about as big as this square. They didn't have any water or toiletry in that room. They had no electricity in that room. He had all the reasons to be bitter for the country of South Africa, and he had all the reasons to be bitter towards the people that put him there in that prison. And he wrote a book when he finally got out of prison, and the book was named Long Walk to Freedom. He published it 5 years after his release, and he had this quote, and the quote goes like this: as I walked out the door towards the gate that would lead to my freedom, this is the key, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'll be still in prison. He understood that he had to leave the past behind. He had to leave all the junk that was in the trunk behind. Somebody say amen. You see, he realized that freedom was a choice when he left that prison. He said, you know what? I'm not going to take this bitterness. Matter of fact, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. How many want to get better? Come on, somebody. Freedom is a choice. Matter of fact, Jesus preached about freedom. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And when he said this, it really brought to light, because he not only, this is an Old Testament prediction, but Jesus said it in the New Testament as well. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is the key, guys. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, he said, I'm proclaiming freedom to those who are captive. Think about that. He's telling you, you're free even though you're captivated. Then he says, I'm opening up the prison doors to those who are bound. Now, this is not physical prison doors, because Jesus didn't go around to all the prisons and open the doors. He was talking about spiritual prisons. Sometimes we might be in a spiritual cage of depression. You might be in a spiritual prison that doesn't even allow you to praise Him and worship Him. Matter of fact, I want to share this scripture that is found in Psalms that helped me learn how to praise Him. How many here love to praise Him? You love to praise Him, amen. And sometimes it's hard to praise Him when you're in prison mentally. But this is where David said this, and I love it what David said, because David was in the tomb of Adullam, and when he was there, he was captivated by the situation. But his position where he was at, his condition, didn't determine if he was free or not. In verse 7, it says, "Bring my soul out of prison." Ooh, come on, somebody. "That I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me." He says, "Bring my soul out of prison so I could praise Him." How many here have a hand you can worship God with? For some of us, you might have been locked up. You see, those chains had you locked up. You couldn't raise your hands at that moment. Spiritually, we were bound in sin. We were bound to that sin that held us captive. But how many know that sin has been set free now, but that we've been set free by the blood of the Lamb? How many here can share that you've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ? Now you can worship Him. Raise your hand like this. Like that. Amen. Now, if you have a physical illness and you can't worship Him with your right hand, how many know you can worship Him with your left hand? If you can't raise your hands, you can raise your feet. Come on, if you can't raise your hands or your feet, you can raise your voices, amen? Because how many know whoever the Son sets free is free indeed? You see, freedom is a beautiful thing. It's a choice. But I want to leave you these three things real quick, something to think about. I want you to write these notes down if you can. If you're writing notes, I want you to write these things down. Three things that help us find our freedom. Three things that help us find our freedom. Did you write that up? Could you put that up real quick? Three things that would help us find our freedom. Number one, identity brings freedom. Today's, we have, in Christianity, we have an identity crisis. People don't know who they are in Christ. And the more that you understand who you are in Christ, the more you'll be able to express your freedom. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says this in the ESV version. It says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." In other words, you don't have to go back to what you used to do, because now God has set you free. I remember the time that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I had an opportunity to go back and hang out with my old friends and go have a time of snorting cocaine, drinking, and having fun out there in the world. So I went back to the place where we all met all the time on a Friday night. I went there and I hung out with all my friends as they were putting away this stuff that causes people to celebrate. And I looked at it, and I looked at it as bondage for some reason. And I didn't even know the scriptures at that time. I just got saved. And I looked at it as it was put, they were putting it out. I said to myself, that's not what I want to do anymore. I said to myself, I don't want to do this anymore. My family, my cousins were there, and they were all generously offering it to everyone that was there in that room. And I looked at it, and I just knew that I didn't want to go back to slavery anymore. So I stood up on my feet and said, I don't want to do this no more. And they looked at me and they just go, why? Because I don't. I gave my life to Jesus Christ and that's not me anymore. And I ended up going closer to the door. And as I began to walk to the door, I felt just the freedom because that thing wasn't holding me down anymore. I closed the door and everybody thought I was nuts. They thought I was crazy passing up all that stuff. And I walked away feeling free, knowing that those bondages or those chains are not on me anymore. Men's Home, listen to me. You're free. You don't have to go back to those things anymore. It's a choice we make. You don't have to go back to depression. You don't have to go back to the pit, knowing that Jesus has now set us free. It's sometimes we have an identity crisis. You have to identify with Jesus now, not with the world. We don't identify with the world anymore. The world is lost and hurting, but in Jesus we are free. And the Bible says, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, for we were called to freedom, brothers. Not only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but though love serve one another. That means you got to know that this freedom came with the price, but it's free, but it's not cheap. Turn to your neighbor, tell him it's not cheap. Amen. So we shouldn't treat it like if it was cheap. We should understand that it was a price behind. Jesus paid that price. In John chapter 8, verse 36, the Bible says, wherever the Son says free is free indeed. How many know that some of us have identity crisis? You don't identify to the world anymore, but you need to identify yourself with Christ. Number two, the truth brings freedom. In John chapter 8, verse 32, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. These are a few statements that I want to bring out here today. Number one, the truth will get you mad before it sets you free. Hello, somebody. Right? The truth will give us a reality check. And also, without the truth, we'd be living a lie. How many know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And the Bible says there's no way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. In other words, I want to let you know here this morning that if you want to try to find true freedom, it is found in Jesus Christ. It is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot find it in substance. You cannot find it in material things. You cannot find it even in a relationship. You can only find it in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that's able to set a man free completely. Number three, forgiveness brings freedom. Forgiveness brings freedom. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus, and the law of sin and death. How many know that the law, if you're not prayed up and you're reading the word and you're not spiritual, this is condemning. Can I hear an amen? Because this condemns us. Because the Bible says the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit that brings life. You see, if we just read the word without the Spirit, it brings condemnation to us. But when you add the Spirit, it brings life to us. You see, that's why we say be born again. Because if you're not born again, then you don't bring the Spirit. That's why in prison, people read the Bible, and they just feel more condemned and more condemned as they read. But when they surrender their life to Jesus, there's a freedom behind that decision that you have made. Matter of fact, you decided to be free. And that's why we celebrate today our Christianity, because we decided to be free in Jesus' name. See, the word condemnation in the Webster Dictionary says this, a statement or expression of very strong criticism or disapproval. There's people around us that will disapprove of our salvation. There's our friends and family that will disapprove of people, of us giving our hearts to Jesus. Matter of fact, they will tell you, why don't you just go out for a little bit and go do your thing? It's okay. They'll also tell you, it's okay to live a life of being lukewarm. But how many know in VO Concord, we don't teach people to be lukewarm here today. We teach people to surrender completely. We teach people to give their hearts, their life, their minds, their wills to Jesus. I believe that's the only way to serve the Lord. In conclusion, I want to just remind you of the three things I just said. Identity brings freedom. Knowing where you stand will determine how strong you will be. I mean, no, that's true. Number two, the truth brings freedom. Knowing who you are will determine how far you will go. And number three, forgiveness brings freedom. Knowing your forgiveness will determine how much healing you'll experience and how much healing you will help others find. Can I say it again one more time, in case you weren't listening? Because some of us struggle with this area of forgiveness. Because when you choose forgiveness, it brings this. Knowing you're forgiven will determine how much healing you will experience and how much healing you will help others find. heal people, hurt people. Freedom is not your condition, but it's your position. We need to know that our position in Christ, we choose freedom here today. We choose to be free. But let me tell you about today's culture. Today's culture wants to captivate us. You know that I've noticed that, how many here have a cell phone? Raise your hand. How many here use it for social media? Raise your hand. Do you know that the same chemical that causes you to keep reading your updates on your social media is the same chemical that is in a person that's addicted to heroin? You guys are quiet. We live in a society that is addicted to so many different things. Matter of fact, people are addicted to being depressed. Let me tell you, let me give you an example of that. Sometimes you just want to be depressed. You don't even want to be encouraged. Matter of fact, you look for somebody else that's depressed so you can hang out with. You just want to stay depressed. There's an addiction behind depression. Sometimes we get into an addictive thing that causes us to be in prison. I encourage you, for those that can't just stop looking at your updates on your social media, maybe it's time to take a break from it. Maybe, you know what, because it deals with your identity crisis. Because then you begin to compare yourself with others and you begin to ask yourself, am I living up to that standard? And God didn't call you to be that girl or that guy. God called you to be your individual person. God called you. See, not all of us have families and big families, and not all of us have big children. None of us have this family that everybody looks like they're happy. And on social media, it almost looks like everybody that takes a post or a picture, it makes it look like they're happy. You see, this week I barely posted anything online. But my family was posting stuff all the time, all week. And I began to look at the postings and I said, man, we look happy. But they don't know I just finished arguing with my wife. They didn't know I just had an argument with one of my kids. But I show a posting of me going, hey, this is Mickey. Or, hey, we're having a good time. But really, sometimes we're not having such a good time. We identify with others that are on social media, and then we're miserable because we're not meeting that standard that they have or they're portraying they have. There are a lot of perpetrators out there saying that they're free, but they're really bound. They're really stuck. And I pray one day, and maybe I'll do that too, is I'll show a reality check of us fighting. This is me and my wife fighting. Hello. Hey! Right? You're like, oh my God, pastor's fighting with his wife. That'll be reality check, right? But it'll be real, right? This is me spanking my children. Right? This is me, you know, doing something crazy. I believe it's, don't compare yourself, because I sat in the table with my family, and I'm going to say it, all of them were on their cell phone, updating their status and checking how many likes they had. I'm going to bust my family out right now. Amen. That's why they left the room right now. Amen. They're all checking their likes to see if they like what they posted up. And I was like, oh, I'm just tired. I said, man, this society always tries to find a way to bound us and to take our freedom from us. And it always tries to find a way to take our identity. And especially as believers, we have to know that we have to look at the mirror of the Word of God. You see, this is how I know that you have an identity crisis. Let me tell you real quick. You put out all your feelings on Facebook from beginning to end. This is how I feel. And this is what happened. This is not fair. This is what's taking place. And you put it out there on Facebook for people to see all that stuff. And all along, God is saying, stop putting things on Facebook for all to see. And you need to seek His face, Jesus's face, and find freedom. Because that doesn't give you freedom. You know what it gives you? It gives you pity. Tell that guy he's a dog. Tell that you didn't deserve that girl. You need to. Slap this mic, amen. Slap somebody right now. Who going to volunteer? I'm slapping right now, amen. Volunteer, anybody, just want to slap them. Just to represent those that are struggling right now, amen. Slap somebody right now, my hand's ready, amen. Just playing, just playing.